Roymans Product Management Podcast. Stakeholder management is as important as it is challenging. Without the support of the stakeholders, it's virtually impossible to achieve product success. However, aligning them can be tricky. In the worst case, you experience endless meetings, conflicting opinions, and bad compromises. But it doesn't have to be this way. In this episode, I share 5 practical measures to help you successfully manage your stakeholders. So let me briefly introduce the measures to you, and then we'll look at them in more detail. The first measure is focus on the right stakeholders, then build trustful connections, set the right outcomes, engage the key stakeholders early and frequently, and navigate conflicts skillfully. The first step to succeeding with stakeholder management is to engage the right people in the right way. That's sometimes easier said than done, especially in bigger companies where a large number of individuals can take an interest in a product. But working with a big stakeholder group can be challenging. Involving everyone can take up a lot of time and make it very difficult to secure buy-in. You should therefore focus your stakeholder management effort and identify the key stakeholders. To do this, carry out a stakeholder analysis using a tool like the Power Interest Grid. As its name suggests, the grid analyzes the stakeholders and divides them into 4 groups by considering their power and their interest. The 4 groups are players, subjects, context setters, and crowd. Once you've established the 4 groups, decide how to engage with them. The stakeholders you should focus on and closely align with are the players. These are your key stakeholders. Earn their trust, communicate with them regularly, and involve them in important product decisions, as I'll explain in more detail later. Trust is the magic ingredient in stakeholder management. When people trust you, they're more likely to agree with you and follow your lead. The second measure is therefore to build trustful connections. And to build trust with stakeholders, follow the following 5 recommendations. First, show that you have the right product management competence. You should know the market or domain, including user and customer needs, the competitive landscape, and relevant trends. Additionally, you should be able to methodically solve product management challenges. For example, being able to create an effective product strategy, build an actionable product roadmap, and select the right KPIs. Second, empathize with the stakeholders and take a genuine interest in their needs and motivations. Here are 3 ways how to achieve this. Make time to get to know the individuals, for instance by having coffee together, practice active listening and listen with the intention to understand, and appreciate that they share their ideas even if you don't agree with them. Third, act with integrity. Be truthful and do what you say. Share successes and issues honestly. Don't sugarcoat problems and don't overstate achievements. Fourth, be accountable and take ownership of your actions and their results. Don't promise something you cannot keep and deliver on your promises. Be willing to apologize for a mistake. And fifth, encourage continuity. Someone should be a key player for an extended period of time, at least for 12 months as a rule of thumb. This helps build trust, it reduces handoffs, delays and loss of knowledge, and it increases productivity. Bear in mind that building trust takes time, consistency and patience. Don't think of it as a quick one-off effort. Make it part of your stakeholder management work and continuously look for opportunities to foster trust and strengthen relationships. Now, to deliver a successful product, you must align the stakeholders and move forward together. Establishing the right outcomes and securing buy-in will help you with this. While every product, team, and organization are unique, I find that product teams generally benefit from using the following 4 types of outcomes: product vision, user, customer, and business goals, product goals, and sprint goals. The vision describes the ultimate purpose for creating a product and the positive change it should bring about. The user, customer, and business goals state the needs a product should address and the business benefits it should offer. I recommend capturing them in the product strategy using, for example, my product vision board, and you can download the tool for free together with a handy checklist from my website. The link is in the show notes. With user, customer, and business goals in place, you can take the next step and determine the right product goals. These are the specific outcomes or objectives the product should create. They typically cover a 2 to 3 months time frame and may be shown on an outcome-based roadmap like my Go product roadmap. In many ways, the product goal is the most important outcome to achieve stakeholder alignment. If everyone supports the current goal, deciding whether a feature should be implemented becomes comparatively easy. If it helps you achieve the outcome, accept it. Otherwise, postpone or discard it. The last goal is the sprint goal, the outcome you want to achieve in the next few weeks. Meeting a sprint goal should result in getting closer to achieving the next product goal, which in turn should help you get closer to addressing the user, customer, and business goals. The outcomes are therefore interconnected. No matter if you use the four types of goals I just described, make sure that you align your stakeholders using outcome-based goals and that the outcomes you set are systematically linked. Now, remember the last time someone presented an important decision and asked you to support it? How did it feel? Let me guess, it wasn't great. That's no surprise. People often find it hard to fully endorse a key decision if they were not involved in the decision-making process. To maximize the chances that the key stakeholders buy into the outcomes just discussed, you should involve them early and regularly. This offers the following three benefits. First, it leads to a sense of shared ownership, which boosts stakeholder buy-in, motivation, and accountability. Second, it leverages the expertise of the stakeholders and their creativity, and it mitigates cognitive biases, like the tendency to prefer data that confirms our preconceived ideas, and this can lead to better decisions and better outcomes. And finally, it helps the stakeholders better understand why and how a decision is made, including its trade-offs, and this creates transparency and it builds trust. A great way to put this into practice is to schedule regular collaborative workshops. Invite the key stakeholders to attend quarterly strategy meetings, to review the outcomes together with the product strategy and product roadmap, and adapt them as needed. 2 hours are usually enough for the meeting. And then ask the key stakeholders to participate in a sprint review at least once per month in order to understand the progress of the current development effort and be able to share feedback. The time required is typically 1 to 2 hours, depending on the sprint length. Schedule additional meetings as needed, including one-on-ones and workshops with selected stakeholders, for example, to discuss changes to the marketing strategy with the marketeer, or get an update from the sales rep. You can take this approach to the next level and invite the key stakeholders to join the product team. This forms an extended team, and I explain this approach in more detail in the episode, Should Stakeholders Be on the Product Team? The link is in the show notes. Last but not least, it can be hard to deal with unrealistic stakeholder expectations and say no to ideas and feature requests. You might not want to disappoint people or worry about having to deal with disagreements and conflicts. But successful products are not built on weak compromises. As Steve Jobs once said, innovation is saying no to 1,000 things. And the truth is that successful innovations require diverging ideas and passionate arguments. They require the willingness to experience and resolve conflict. How can you create something new and amazing when everybody quickly agrees? In the worst case, you practice design by committee, broker a weak compromise, and agree on the smallest common denominator. But that's hardly a recipe for achieving success. It's therefore important to address disagreements effectively instead of brushing them under the carpet, deprioritizing your needs, and giving in to a senior stakeholder. A framework that helps you resolve conflicts skillfully is nonviolent communication. It recommends that the two conflict parties share their observations, feelings, and needs before making mutual requests to resolve the issue and prevent it from occurring again. It encourages a dialogue and wants people to help understand their respective perspectives and motivations. Applied correctly, it not only resolves the conflict, it also rebuilds and strengthens the relationship, as I explain in more detail in the episode, How to Leverage Conflict in Product Management. The link is in the show notes again. I hope you found this episode helpful. If you want to take your stakeholder management skills to the next level, attend my product leadership training and read or listen to my book, How to Lead in Product Management. Thank you for listening.